From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
I want you to take it and I want you to put it on your left arm, like this. And when it's on your left arm, you cannot go to sleep until this is back on your right arm. Now, some of you will be awake for the next week, 48 hours or so. I want you not to let the sun go down on your anger. And so you then get it right. I don't care if we need to write emails or we need whatever.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
Today, part two of a message we began yesterday entitled Words in Excess, Complaining. We learned yesterday about the destructive power of complaining, but what can we do to guard against it? Well, today, Pastor Wayne will show us a little secret that will help us stay accountable. From the series, Me and My Big Mouth, here is Pastor Wayne with part two of the message, Words in Excess, Complaining.
Now, don't wait for others to hold you accountable. Keep what?
Yourself.
Accountable. Keep yourself. It's one of the secrets of a great life are men and women who have developed a self-governing system on the inside. Something that when they're starting to cross the line, that like those rumble strips on the freeways and the mainland, when you're starting to fall asleep and you're drifting, all of a sudden you hit this rumble strip and you veer back on. Whoa, what is it? It's a wake-up call is what it is. Because a lot of people doze off, truckers doze off, and there are rumble strips on both sides. And it wakes you up because it just rattles your fillings right out of your teeth. But it wakes you up and it gets you back on the straight and narrow. On the inside of us, there needs to be a warning system that when we're grumbling or arguing or complaining, there needs to be just something that says, whoa, stop. Whoa, 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 whoa. You can rectify it. You can resolve it. You can fix the problem, but do it biblically. Otherwise, God's not going to touch this with a 10-foot pole because the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Never in a million years. Never in a million years. So we must hold who accountable? Yeah, otherwise we'll compare ourselves with others and we'll always come out smelling like a rose. Let's read what it says here in Galatians 6. Go. Be sure to do what you should, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Would you circle the word, be sure to do what? Here it is. You should. And you won't need to compare yourself with anyone else. And then would you underline the last sentence, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Yeah, but what about that other? We are each responsible for ourselves. Let's read in 2 Corinthians. Go. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is really genuine. Test. Yeah, take a look at how many times that second person is listed. Listen, examine yourselves to see if your faith is really genuine. Test yourselves. You see, what God is saying is if we're going to reduce complaining and arguing, which opens the door to the enemy and to its destructive power, we must hold ourselves accountable. Nobody else. Yeah, but they, doesn't matter. But they're terrible. But they're, I was going to say a bad word. They're a butthead, you know. They're no good. They're an idiot. Doesn't matter. How are you doing in your own right? He said, but Wayne, what if you mess up? What if you say things you shouldn't? Would you write down in the bullet then? Here it is. Correct things quickly. Correct them quickly. If you let it fester, it gets worse and worse and worse. The sooner the better. Let's read what Proverbs 17 says. Go. The beginning of strife is like letting out water. So abandon the quarrel before it. Yeah, abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. When you just start to see it going south, say, oops, time to abandon this ship. Abandon the quarrel. Don't let it continue. The worst thing is to let melanoma go once you know it's melanoma. It'll take your life that fast. It's in the book of Proverbs, and I'm going to bring it up on the screen in just a second, but let me read to you what Proverbs says. It says, when When this happens, don't even go to sleep until you take care of it. Because if not, it will toxify your life and you'll start making bad decisions hand over fist. Here it is. Listen to this. And then we'll put some up on the screen and you can read the last portion. But let me read the first portion to you. Proverbs 6, 2 through 5 says this. My son or my daughter, if you have been snared by the words of your mouth, if you have been caught with the words of your tongue, do this then, my son, and deliver yourself. Now here's the rest of it, and let's read it together. Go. Go humble yourself. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. In other words, this is what he's saying. He's saying, when you mess up with your words, humble yourself. I mean, when? Now. The sooner the better. Listen very carefully. I don't know if this is a scripture, but maybe it should be. Humble pie is always best when eaten warm. Humble pie is always best when eaten warm, while it's still warm. Got to do it before. In fact, this is what the Bible says, before you go to sleep. Don't even let sleep get to your eyelids or slumber until you correct it. You've got to correct it because it's like melanoma and it's going to go as fast as it can to destroy you. You will be destroyed by the destroyer. You've let him in and he's starting his advance. And the sooner you correct it and apologize and repent, the sooner you correct it, the sooner you stop his advance. If you don't, he takes foundations out from under your family, your marriage, your future will never be back right again. You can repent later on after you're pushed up against the corner and painted there, and then you finally repent because there's nothing left. Now you receive forgiveness, but your future is gone. What could have been, the promises of God are gone. You're forgiven, you're loved, but everything that could have been is no longer. That's why the Bible says, man, don't even go to sleep tonight till you get it taken care of. In fact, let's read what it says in Ephesians 4. Go. Be angry and yet do not sin. Stop there. You're going to get angry, but the way you deal with it will make it sin or not sin. We all get angry. Every single one of us. We all get angry. Now, how are you going to deal with that problem? I can grumble. I can argue. I can complain. Or I can ask God for patience, give me wisdom and comprehension. Be angry, but do not sin. What if I do, though, Lord? What if I do? Let's start it again. Go. Be angry and yet do not sin. Here it is. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Here it is. And do not give the devil... He even mentions the entry of the devil taking opportunity. Why? Because we open the door through complaints and arguing and grumbling. It opens the door. Melanoma begins. And God says, don't even go to sleep till you take care of it. Because it'll keep right on advancing. You will have given the devil an opportunity. Don't you dare do it. Don't give him any more opportunity than he already has. So what do we do? Here it is, James 5:16. Let's read the last one. Go. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Underline that, so you may be healed. Why do you need to get it right? Why do you need to get it right? Because the other person was right or wrong? Doesn't matter. You need to get it right so you can start to be what? Healed. Start the healing process. Start the healing process. I've told you the story before. Let me share it again. In Bible college, I had a friend named Mike Nichols. And Mike Nichols was very strange. I think he needed medication. He, of course, needed some serious therapy. But he was real different. He would play jokes on you. He was studying for the ministry, but he was really different. When you get excited, he'd come up and not only hug you, he'd bite your head. And he'd just bite you because he's so happy to see you. You know, it's like, you're a really strange guy. And Well, he would do certain things that would escalate. For example, I was coming home one day and he was up in the stairs above me. And as I was walking up the stairs, he poured some water on me in this big tumbler. And so I said, "What are you doing?" He ran off down the hallway. So I grabbed, he just dropped the tumbler. I grabbed it, put some water in and got him as well. And so I thought, oh, man. And then I went out to my car, and all of a sudden this deluge of water hits me. He was from the bathroom pouring a bucket on me as I'm getting into my car. I was so mad. I went up there and chased him, got another bucket of water, crashed him. But he had run in his room. So, you know, I knocked on the door, and he wouldn't come out. So I waited and waited. He finally came out, and I doused him. And then I ran into my room and locked the door. And so finally I thought, now get rid of this parasite. This guy is crazy. He's just crazy. And so I remember studying that night, and I was writing a paper, a term paper, and I hear this giggling outside. I thought, oh, no, it's nothing. And he's giggling again. I hear it. It's Mike's giggle. I thought, he's up to something. But I'll just let him stay out in the hallway because I have this lock, double lock. And so I just keep writing. And all of a sudden, my feet feel funny. Something's funny. And I look down, and my whole room is being flooded with water. I thought, what? And he had a hose outside under my door, and he was flooding me out with a hose from the bathroom. And he thought it was really funny. I had this much water in my room. And I opened the door. I said, "You idiot." And I kicked him. We got into a scuffle. I said, "This is so dumb." And pretty soon, you know how when it starts by playfulness, it turns into like WWF World Wrestling Federation. So we just started wrestling. I started punching him. He started punching me. And then he said a word that called me this curse word. And I said, "Yeah, same to you." And so he went into his room, slammed the door, and I had to take all of the carpet out and vacuum the water out. Then I was so mad. I thought, oh, God, so mad. I said, "Lord, tonight, just take him home. Take him home." So I remember I was in my bed, and it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. Finally, I was just ready to go to sleep, and I hear this knock on the door. Hello, are you awake? It was Mike. Yes, what I usually do at 1 o'clock, Mike, I'm awake. Yep, I'm just praying here, waiting for you to come. He said, "Wait." I said, "Mike, go away. Go to sleep." "Wait." I said, "I'm going to just inject you with something. Just go to sleep." "Wait." So I finally opened the door. I said, "What do you want?" And he looked at me and he said, "You know, I can't go to sleep." I said, "Good for you." He said, "No, I just can't go to sleep." I said, "Why?" "The Lord won't let me." I said, "That's because the Lord is wise." He said, "I can't go to sleep." I said, "Why?" "Because the Lord said that I couldn't go to sleep until I made it right and asked for your forgiveness." I said, "Oh, get out of here. You're forgiven. Get out of here." Close the door. And I remember getting into my bed, pulling my sheet over my shoulder like this, and I rolled over and I said to God, I said, "God, why doesn't that guy just roll over and go to sleep and leave me alone?" And I've never forgotten what the Lord spoke to my heart just then. He said, "Wayne, that's what you do, don't you, when I talk to you. You just roll over and say, 'Leave me alone.' At least Mike gets up when I talk to him." And then he said something that I've had the hardest time to receive. I've never forgotten it till this day. The Lord said, "You should be more like Mike." Those are the harshest words God has ever spoken to my life. But I understood what he was saying. And that's why the Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. You see, sometimes we make mistakes with our words, but then we have to understand God is saying, then correct it quickly. Don't let the sun go down in your anger, because that's when the devil takes an opportunity, and that's when the melanoma begins. We are convinced of its destructive power. We understand that. And we also understand that a great life is only lived intentionally. Intentionally. And that we must be a people who will hold ourselves accountable. And when we do that, then we'll be able to reduce our complaining and our grumbling. And so, you know how the week before Easter, in a lot of denominations, they have something called Lent, where they give up something. They get, you know, fast sugar or desserts just to prepare their hearts for Easter. Well, we're going to fast something this week. Are you ready? It's we're going to put a moratorium on complaining and grumbling and arguing. No complaining. So here's what we've done. Each of you take a look at this rubber band, all right? Okay. All right. This is on your right hand, your right arm. And I've had this for a couple of days. And now here it is. It is to remind you that you do not grumble and you don't complain and you don't get into an argument. Therefore, abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. So, every time you say anything that is of grumbling or arguing or complaining nature, I want you, no, not snap yourself. This isn't a masochistic kind of thing. No. I want you to take it and I want you to put it on your left arm like this. And when it's on your left arm, you cannot go to sleep until this is back on your right arm. Now, some of you will be awake for the next week, 48 hours or so. You'll be coming to Easter hallucinating, you know. No, I want you not to let the sun go down on your anger. And so you then get it right. I don't care if we need to write emails or we need whatever. Let me tell you a story. It was only about 3 months ago. I had done some complaining about something and grumbling. And God dealt with me so much. I had even done this. I got on an airplane. I'd flown to Canada by this time. And I was in a hotel. It was 11 o'clock at night. And God was dealing with me that I had just been diarrhea-mouthed about a certain thing. And God said, you cannot go to sleep. I actually typed out 6 letters of apology asking for forgiveness. And when I had sent and pressed send on the last one, it was like 100 pounds lifted off of me. And I knew that as far as it depended on me, I had to be at peace with all men. And I couldn't let the sun go down in my anger. And it was then that I could just go to sleep, and I slept like a log. The night before, when I'd been grumbling for a couple of days, I couldn't sleep. I tossed and turned and tossed and turned. And the second night, God says, don't do it. Don't go to sleep until you deal with it. Typed out 6 letters and sent them out to the different people that I had mouthed off to a little bit and asked them for their forgiveness. And doesn't even matter what their response was, because I had gotten it taken care of. Confess your sins, therefore, to one another so that you may be healed. And as soon as I pressed send on the last one, it's like 100 pounds lifted off of me. That's why the Bible says, if you've been snared by the words of your mouth, if you've been caught by your tongue, then do this, my son. Do not let sleep come to your eyes, slumber to your eyelids, but deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's fowl, a bird from its cage, its trap. And I thought, that's why he says, be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down your anger. Don't let it. Don't let it. It was the best thing I could have done. Now, glad to report to you, over the next 4 days, all 6 of them had written back and said, thank you so much. We were involved in that too, and we apologize to you. Forgive us for that. And it was just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But I tell you, when you mess up, take that rubber band, put it on your left. And then when you take care of that, then put it on your right. And do not go to sleep until it's on your right hand. We'll do that till Easter, because we're going to apply what God has been speaking to us, and we are going to do a moratorium on grumbling, arguing, and complaining. I can't think of a better way to get our hearts right for Easter. Now, some of you might be here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, if we were honest, I would need like 7 or 18 rubber bands on my left hand right now. Okay, well, start with it on your right. And if you need to take it off right now and put it on your left, then that's fine. Then deal with those things. You may need to make a phone call, write a note, write an email. Doesn't matter what their response is. Get it taken care of. Because otherwise, melanoma begins. Get it on your right hand. You'll sleep like a baby. Let's do this till Easter. What do you think? Can we do it together as a church? Let's do it. Let's stand together. Make sure you get one of these now. Now, for some of you Samoans, we have some really big ones. I mean, this will go around my head. It's so big, but we really do have a few of those if you need them. But for most of us, this one may work. And if it's cutting off your circulation, is going black and blue, then get another one. But let's try it. Let's try it. And you know what? I've been wearing this for a couple of days now. And it really helps me because even when I'm about to complain or grumble or talk about somebody, I just look at my wrist and I abandon that before it breaks out. It really helps. So we just need to change our perspective and be a people that are applying the Word of God. That's why James says it this way. Beprove yourselves doers of the Word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Because if we as a church people are merely hearers of the Word and not doers, we're like a person that looks at himself in a mirror. And once he is gone, he's completely forgotten the kind of person that he was. God's Word often is like a mirror. And we're sitting here in church and we say, oops, that's us. Then the Lord says, those are the ones. Let's be doers of the Word and not merely hearers. And this will help us to be doers of the Word. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, as we go into Easter this week. We ask, Lord, that you will help us to be a people who put a moratorium on grumbling, talking about others, complaining and arguing. A simple, simple object lesson, but powerful, so that we will begin to be doers of the Word and not just merely hearers who delude themselves. Because we can become prone to delusion or deception where we think we're right and we're completely wrong. That kind of delusion comes when we are hearers of the Word and not doers. So Lord, little by little, teach us to be doers of the Word, as James says, so that we can be a people of your Word. And now we give you praise and glory and honor as we welcome you into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you thank him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords?
Christ the Lord. Place my trust, I find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength,
my source of hope,
my source of hope is Christ alone, Christ alone. My trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone, Christ alone. My source of strength, my source of hope.
give somebody a hug on your way out.
In Christ alone, I place my trust.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Words in Excess, Complaining by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu.
Let it be said of me.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
My source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone.